Well, good morning again. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, so I encourage you to open your Bibles to that, and let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the beginning of Advent, the beginning of the season where we celebrate the coming of our Savior. We just pray that you would be with us, be by our side. Please let your spirit flow free here. Please use the words, my mouth, God, the meditations of my heart, to bless people today. Thank you for all this. Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Had a good time visiting my family down in Virginia. And I must say, there's nothing more humbling for me than going home. Because it doesn't matter how old I get, I'm still the baby of the family. At my house, we have these conversations. Yes, Mom, I remember how to load a dishwasher. Thank you very much. Yes, Mom, I promise you, if I get cold in the middle of the night, I will let you know so I can grab an extra blanket. Thank you. Being the baby of the family also comes with some advantages, though. My parents love to spoil me, and I don't have an issue with that. But it also gives me an opportunity to bless them. My mom had to get some stuff for the house, and some of the things were too heavy for her to carry in. And so I got to be macho son and walk it in for her and make me feel really good to be able to bless my mom. It also is always a great blessing because my dad loves to spoil me. And Saturday, I knew it was going to be a very busy day. I had to get up very early, had to drive back from Virginia, had to finish my sermon for today. And when I got up, my dad's like, do you mind if I make you pack you a lunch? And at first, I was like, no, it's okay, Dad. I'll just stop by somewhere. But then I was like, you know what? That actually would be nice. If you could pack me a sandwich, that'd be great. When I was done packing my stuff, my dad gave me a bag. And he's like, hey, I packed you a sandwich, some extra stuff. Thanks, Dad. Said my goodbyes and was hanging the road. Well, a couple hours into my journey, I was getting a little tired, so I decided to pull into a rest stop, use the restroom, and then on my way out, I saw vending machines. Now, I like to eat healthy, but it had been a long day. I wanted to reward myself a little bit, and I was like, I'm going to go for a candy bar. I walked up to there, and the candy bars and vending machines are so expensive. And I was like, you know what? I'm a little disappointed, but I'm going to wait till I go to the gas station. I'll get a candy bar from there. I go to my car, a little disappointed, but that's fine. I open up my bag because I knew I wanted something to eat. And as I looked my bag, I remembered that my dad had packed some extra stuff. And I got that feeling like a kid does at Christmas. I wonder what my dad packed for me. So I pulled out a sandwich, some fruit, that was great. And wouldn't you know, in the bottom of the bag was a candy bar. Now, this is pretty big for my family. We don't have tons of candy laying around the house. But that was a great blessing. And instantly, it actually brought a smile to my face and a tear to my eye. Because again, I had that feeling again as when I was a kid, opening up presents, super excited to know what extra treat might be in there. And as I reflect on that, I reflected on this fact that we have a Heavenly Father who loves to pack great things for us. And I'm always curious to find out the extra treats He has prepared for us. But sometimes because of life, we get a little jaded. We get a little sad. We get a little discouraged, and we forget that we have a Heavenly Father who loves to take care of us, just like our dad, and loves to put extra treats in there to just give us a smile. As we start Advent, I want us to remember that, because I think Advent reminds us of this God, this Heavenly Father, who likes to pack and give great things to His children. Now, what is Advent? Some of you guys may never have heard the term before. Some of you guys have been in church and might have heard of Advent, but don't really know what it means. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, means coming or arrival. And that is the definition. It's the arrival of an important person, place, or thing. So when we apply it to the Christian church, of course, we're talking about the arrival of Jesus. Usually marks the fourth Sundays right before we get to Christmas. But this idea of Advent, it marks the end of waiting. It's the realization of something that has been longed for. I think we forget that there were 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where there was virtual silence. People were waiting for this promised Savior. Had God forgotten us? Had God heard our prayers? Does our God still love us? Advent answers that question. And I think it's a reminder for us today that God has not forgot His promise to take care of His children and to take care of us today. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. Messages of joy that God sent to three different people. And interesting enough, they had three different reactions. One, you already heard about, Mary, and we spent a lot of time around Christmas thinking about Mary, and that's great. The other person was Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. And the last person was Zachariah, Elizabeth's husband. And we're actually going to start with Zechariah's reaction today. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, let's take a look at verses 11 through 15. Because I think this will remind us that we have a God who listens to us. Verses 11 through 15. And there appeared to him, this is Zechariah, and just to give you a little background, Zechariah was a priest. He served in the temple. His wife, Elizabeth, was actually also of the royal priesthood. And they served doing their duty. And the Bible says, makes a point to say that they were blameless in God's sight. They did everything they were supposed to. And yet, Elizabeth was still barren. She couldn't have kids. I want to take just a moment to stop and reflect on that. Sometimes we go through hard times and it's not our fault. We're doing everything that we're supposed to, but stuff still doesn't go our way. That's what we see in Zechariah and Elizabeth, two people who have faithfully served the Lord. And now most scholars believe they are in their 80s. And this is the message that they get. Again, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call him his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." I love two things that jump out to me. The angel says, "Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." Now, again, Zechariah is probably in his 80s. He's probably been trying to have kids for maybe close to 60 years now. I'm not sure how many times Zechariah would have prayed, "God, please bless us," and his prayers would have gone unanswered. I think the same thing happens to us. Many of us have prayers that we've prayed over and over again. Months, years pass sometime. And it's like, does God hear me? Does God care about me? The very first message that this angel says is that your God has heard you. He has heard your prayers. And he's decided to give you a message of joy and gladness. He has decided to respond to you. He has not forgotten you over these years. Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Doesn't it give you pleasure and joy to know that we have a God who remembers all of our sad times, who remembers every time we pray to him, and he doesn't forget that. He remembers. He hears us. The second thing that we can learn from Zechariah is this. Do not let hard times make us afraid to hope. So often when we pray and we don't get an answer to pray, we become jaded. We become discouraged. And we lose hope in God. That's what we see happening to Zechariah here in verse 18. After the angel brings this great message of joy and gladness, God has heard your prayers and he's decided to answer you. This is Zechariah's response. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Some versions say, "How can I believe that this is true?" You see, I believe Zechariah had spent so many years praying and wanting for this, that just the idea that God could make this a possibility was unimaginable to him. He had hardened his heart to the possibility that God could work a miracle in his life. And I think that's our danger today. Again, we pray and we pray, and if we don't get answers when we want them or how we want them, we can harden our hearts to God. God says, be careful of that. Know that I'm a God who still loves you and can do amazing things in your life. Galatians 6:9 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." We meet Zechariah, and he has given up. He said, "This is no longer a possibility. My legacy will go unanswered. I will have no one to carry my name. My God has not answered me." So he stopped. Have you given up in your life with your prayers, your dreams, your desires? Have you said, "I'm too old," or "too much has happened. This can no longer work for me"? There's a great story I want to share with you. Every year in January, we take our kids to something called Winter Jam. It's a great Christian concert over and ready. I love taking our kids there because they have great music there, but they also have great speakers. This past January, they had a great speaker there. Her name is Stephanie Fass, that's her picture, and she wrote a book called She Is Mine. And she shared a powerful testimony. See, she was born in South Korea. After the Korean War, there was an American soldier who got her mother, who was Korean, pregnant. The soldier didn't even realize this and went back home. But now her mother was left pregnant. When she gave birth to Stephanie, she now had a mixed race child, which they call Tugi, which is a very horrible term for anyone who is of mixed race background. And because of that, her mother had so much pressure to give Stephanie up. She tells the story of when she was 4 years old, her mother had packed her up, put her on a train with a lunch, and said, "I want you to ride this train, and someone will be there to pick you up when you get done." Well, Stephanie rode that train, and at the end, no one was there to pick her up. She walked and walked to try to get back to her own village. This ordeal went on for 3 years, where she now had to fend for herself. No fault of her own, she was left alone. Her prayers went unanswered. Is there a God who loves me? Is there someone out there who would be there for me? Stephanie goes on to say that there was this lady, a nurse from Sweden, had gone to Korea to help with babies there and was working at a clinic. And one day, this nurse was walking home, and she decided to take a different path for some reason. And she heard the whimpers of Stephanie laying on the ground. She was sick. She was diseased. She was about to die. And the nurse stopped and tried to help all that she could, but Stephanie was too old for the clinic. There was nothing that she felt she could do. So sadly, she turned to walk on. And she says that something made her stop in her tracks. And the nurse said that she heard in her native tongue this word, this message: "She is mine." She looked all around her. Who would be speaking in Swedish in the middle of Korea? And then she realized this was the voice of God. She turned around, picked Stephanie up, took her to the clinic. Again, some hardship happened, but it turned out that an American couple came down. They were looking for someone to adopt. They had many different choices, but God pointed Stephanie out. And so they adopted Stephanie and took her home. Stephanie grew up. She is an American now. She goes on to speak to many people. Orphans are a big part of her life. She wrote this book. It's a great book. I'm reading through it again myself. And the great thing about Stephanie's life is she is evidence that we serve a God who hears our prayers, who loves us individually, who says, "She is mine. He is mine." Stephanie goes on to inspire many people. At Winter Jam, she inspired me to pick up my own little orphan that I support, or young kid. His name is Tu. He is from Vietnam. Again, he's just an example of someone who is inspired. Stephanie inspired me with her story, and God inspired her. I share that story with you because God remembers each one of us by name. He never forgets us. He says that she is mine, he is mine, you are his. Don't let discouragement or unanswered prayers make you cold to realizing that God still loves you. He still has great things and plan in store for you. Last thing we can learn from Zechariah right now is this: be careful how we think and speak about life. Be careful how we think and speak about life. Again, remember Zechariah, he is discouraged. He doesn't believe the word of his angel. And so the angel goes on to say this in verse 19. And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Zechariah gets discipline, a punishment, if you will say. Because of his unbelief, he is made mute. He can no longer speak until the day that his son is born. There could have been many different actions. Why did God choose this? I'm not sure, but it might have been this one reason. The way we speak over our lives and other people's lives can either encourage us or discourage us. We all have that internal voice, the way that we speak to ourselves. It says, that's not going to happen. Give up hope. Why should I do that? I think that is what God wants us to guard against. He wants us to guard against how we speak to ourselves and how we speak to other people. The Bible says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Again, you can encourage someone or you can discourage them just by your words. And you can do the same for yourself. It's also important who you allow to speak into your life. Many people won't go to do the great things that God has called them to because they surround themselves with people who continually discourage them. Again, be careful how you speak into your own life, to the lives of others. And be careful also how you think. Philippians says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. There are some people who are prone to stress, anxiety, depression. I know I've been there myself. And we can make that worse if we just reflect on the bad things that are going on. But if you take a moment to think about all the great things that God is doing in your life, even in the moment of hardship, you can feel that joy arising. And you can feel that hope, knowing that God will always take care of you. Be careful how you speak and how you think, because it can impact your life. Well, the second person who gets an amazing message is Mary. Again, we've heard a little bit of her story, but there's so many things we can learn from Mary. The first thing, though, is belief and obedience lead to joy. Belief and obedience lead to joy. Turn to verse 34 with me. 34 through 38 says this, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want you to notice something. Zechariah had a question, and he got hit with a punishment. Mary had a question, and she got hit with praise. Why? It was the attitude of her question. Angel, I'm a virgin. How is this possible that I'm going to get pregnant? She's just asking for information. An angel gladly gives that to her. And Mary's response is what I think drew God to her. She said, I am your servant. May it be as you say. God loves people who are willing to do the impossible with him. Even if they don't understand, they're just willing to obey him. God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but you promised that it would. So I'm trusting in you. I don't need to know all the answers. I don't need to connect all the dots. I know that you already know the future. So God, please help me to follow you. That is what Mary does here. And she is blessed because of that. 1 Samuel records this great passage where Samuel says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. What Samuel's saying is sacrifice is great, but that doesn't mean anything if you're not willing to obey God. Some of you might say, I sacrifice my time and I come to church, sacrifice my resources and I tithe, and that's great things. But what is your heart in doing that? Are you doing it because you love God and out of obedience to him? God would rather people obey him and love him than offer sacrifices every now and again. And that is what Mary does here. I think Mary understands that she's going to have a hard time. Most scholars believe Mary was pretty young. She was probably between the ages of 12 and 14. She was going to have a hard life. Even once Jesus was born, the Pharisees are recorded as saying of Jesus, we weren't born of fornication. Almost like, we know about your mom, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Sure. That's something that Mary probably had to hear her whole life. She had to worry about Joseph, who she was engaged to. And yet she was still willing to serve God. And it's because of that she was blessed. Are you willing to serve God even when it doesn't make sense? If so, that is when you are blessed. The second thing I think we can learn from Mary is this. Share your life's journey with others. Share your life's journey with others. Let's hop around a couple of places here. 39 to 40 says this. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. 46 to 47 records the Magnificat. After Elizabeth blesses Mary, she sings this wonderful song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And verse 56 is something that I think we don't realize. And Mary remained with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her home. You see, once Mary realized she's pregnant, once Mary realizes all this stuff is going to happen, one of her first actions is to run to her aunt, somebody that she can share the story with, someone that she can get encouragement with, someone that she can share the hardships of joys and sorrows with. And she actually stays with Elizabeth for 3 months before returning home. I don't think we get the picture. Mary didn't just hop on a camel and ride down the street. Most people believe that Elizabeth probably lived 60 to 80 miles away from Mary. And yet Mary still made this journey while she was pregnant. It was that important for her to have people around her that can encourage her. When you're going through a difficult time, don't do it by yourself. Again, we are better in community. Community is there to share our highest highs and our lowest lows. That is when we know that we are blessed and we have joy. Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One of our students is a new Marine. Her name's Savannah. She'll be here later on in second service. She did an excellent job excelling at boot camp. And I was talking to Savannah when she was back, and I was like, what was the hardest thing about boot camp? And she said that during her time, she got sick, and she was actually put on bed rest. But being sick wasn't really what worried her. It was the fact that she was missing out. She couldn't share in what the other girls were experiencing. She said that she wanted to be out there with the rest of them. You see, one of the reasons when you're going through boot camp that they put you in a team, put you in a squad, is because you know that there's where you learn to lean on each other. We are called the army of God. We are on a team. We're supposed to be here to support one another. Where you're going through a great time or a difficult time, make sure you're doing that with someone else so that you can know God's joy. The last person I want to highlight real fast is Elizabeth. That is Mary's cousin. That is who Mary ran to celebrate with. Elizabeth expresses thanks to God. I think this is something that we should all remember. A lot of times we offer so many prayers to God, but when God finally answers our prayer, we forget to take time to thank him. Verse 23 to 25 says this, "And when Zechariah's time of service was ended, he went to his home." And verse 24 goes on, "After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people.'" She goes on to give him praise and thanks that she is now pregnant, and she's so excited about that. 1 Thessalonians says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Elizabeth remembers a great thing. That again, so often we pray and we pray and we pray, but then when we finally get an answer to prayer, we forget to thank God. And everything, the Bible says, thank God for it. When we thank God, we are satisfied with what he has given us. And then we don't long for so many other things. I think we see this in Elizabeth's life. As she is then empowered by the Holy Spirit, and she is excited, not envious of the blessings of others. Did you ever think about this? Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, who would go on to be famous. But Mary's pregnant with Jesus, who would go on to be the Savior. And yet, Elizabeth isn't envious. Even though Mary's so much younger than her, she's actually excited for Mary. We see this in verses 41 to 45. It reads, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Elizabeth, who is probably in her 80s, is blessing her cousin, who's just a teenager, Mary, and saying, "Blessed are you. I'm so excited for you." I think the reason, again, Elizabeth is not envious of Mary is because she's thankful for what God has done in her life. So often, we forget what God has done in our life, so when we hear that something else good has happened to other people, to be honest, we get kind of jealous. We get kind of envious of them. You hear someone else at work got that promotion, or someone else brought that new house, and part of us is jealous, part of us is envious. The reason being because we forget to thank God for what he has given us and realize that each one of us has a different destiny in him. Don't be envious of others. Actually be excited for them when God blesses them. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We need to keep the two in balance. Again, when you hear something good is happening to someone, be excited for them. Don't be envious. You guys know Jared? I was talking to him last week, and he told me this amazing story. Jared, again, is in a ministry training program, but one of his responsibilities there is to get a job in the community so he can make some extra money to provide for himself, but also so he can interact with others as well. And Jared found a job. He's a delivery guy for a pizza place. And he was telling me about this story. You see, they have a rule at the delivery place. They have a couple different people who are delivering, and you can only take one order at a time. Now, that might seem inefficient at first, but that's because it's so it'll be fair to everyone else. Because when you're delivering pizza, your biggest pay comes from tips. So if someone's taking all the deliveries, then someone else won't be able to get the extra tips. Well, Jared told me about a story of one of his coworkers who was taking 2 and 3 orders at a time. He knew the rules, and that wasn't fair. That started to make Jared frustrated because Jared knew that he would get less opportunities at getting tips. But Jared made a choice. He said, instead of getting stressed, instead of getting frustrated, instead of blowing up at the guy, he said, "You know what, God? You know what's happening. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to choose to follow you." Well, at the end of the night, this guy who had been working 2-3 times as hard as Jared ended up getting less than half the tips that Jared ended up with. And it was at that moment that Jared said this amazing thing. "I learned through that I can choose to have joy. Even when a situation is not fair, even when a situation is not going my way, I can choose to have joy." Again, I think that's what Elizabeth does. Even though she hears about her cousin, who has arguably a greater destiny than her, and I would argue with that, she chooses to be joyful. She chooses to be thankful for what God has provided for her. Whenever you face a situation, do you choose to be thankful? Do you choose to have joy? Or do you get frustrated and envious of others? I think Luke 1 tells us about many people who learn from these messages of joy that they received. There's many things that we can learn as well. As we're about to close, don't forget to not let hard times make it hard for us to hope. Remember that belief and obedience can lead to joy. Remember to share your life's journey, both joys and sorrows, with others. Be thankful for what God has blessed you with, and be excited, not envious, of how God is blessing others. I want to end by sharing one last thing. Remember Zechariah, the guy who didn't believe the angel, so was forced to be mute. Well, at the end of Luke 1, Elizabeth actually has her baby. And it's a time where they're supposed to name the baby. And the crowd gathers around. They're expecting that Elizabeth would name the baby Zechariah after his father or something that has some type of connection to his family. And Elizabeth is adamant that, no, his name will be John. This is what the angel said we're supposed to name him. And so they turn to Zechariah, who can't speak, so he's been writing on tablets this whole time, and say, Zechariah, do you agree with this? Your wife's going crazy. This baby should be named after you or someone in your family. And Zechariah writes on a tablet, his name is John. And the Bible says instantly Zechariah is able to speak. And the very first thing he does is he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies over his son and what his relationship will be with our Savior. Take joy in a God who honors his promises, and he rewards our faithfulness. I think Zechariah learned his lesson, that we serve a God who does what he says he's going to do. And the moment that we are willing to follow him, he blesses us. So our only response should be to give him praise and thank him for everything he does. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Luke chapter 1, who gives us many clues of how we can have joy, God. We can have joy by remembering that you are God who hears our prayers. So many of us have prayed things over and over again, and maybe for years, God, and we can get discouraged, we can lose hope. But Father God, you are a God who hears us. And even when you don't answer at the exact time we want, we know that you will answer us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being a God who reminds us to not lose hope. When we get discouraged, when we get afraid, let us run to you, God. Let us trust and believe that you always have something great for us. We thank you for being a God who honors our obedience to you. Whenever we decide to follow you, you're right there, and you help us through it. Thank you for reminding us that we should share our joys, our sorrows with other people, that we're not supposed to do this alone. You have created us to be in community so we can help one another and to rely on you. Thank you, Father God, also for the reminder that we should always give you thanks and praise no matter what is going on. Because when we do, we are joyful with what you've given us, and we're not envious of others. And thank you, God, for rewarding our faithfulness. No matter how we've messed up in the past, as soon as we turn to you, we know that you're there, and you bless us for it. Father God, please watch over us. We thank you for this reminder, and we thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.